Blog Talk Radio.
We got a jam-packed show today. I'm going after everybody. So I'll be going after the right for their response to the Paris terrorist attacks. But also, I got to go after the left, specifically the left in the UK, in all seriousness, capitulating on some core non-negotiable issues. It's really unbelievable, in my opinion. I don't want to spoil too much of that now, so I'm not going to give the best teases in the world here, but I have Anonymous versus ISIS. I'm going to kick it off with that in a second. I have about half of the states in the U.S. saying fuck you to all Syrian refugees. We'll discuss that, and we'll discuss the hypocrisy angle more than anything. I mean, it's funny how the states that are the quickest to say no are the ones that like to consider themselves the most Christian. We're going to go to what the Bible says on that issue. Now, remember, I'm not a believer in the Bible, so I don't have to abide by that bullshit. But there's no doubt that a lot of these states are just jam-packed full of hypocrites, unsurprisingly. And what else I got for you, man? I don't know. We got a lot of it is roughly on the same material today, but I start sprinkling in some other stuff later on. Justice Antonin Scalia flexes the stupid muscle again because he is pretending like liberals are in favor of giving rights to child abusers. I don't know what he means. We'll discuss it. I'll give you his direct quote and we'll discuss it later. And some facts on atheists later on in the show. Pew Research did some interesting work here where they laid out some basic facts in terms of what's the gender makeup of atheists, like what percentage are we talking about. We have how much is the atheist community growing. Now, remember, it's different. That's different from just the secular community. Secular is a much wider net because that just means people who believe government and religion should be separate. And the nuns category also is different. Nuns is people who are not part of an organized religion, but they could believe in a god, for example, or believe in stuff like that. That's a bigger number, too. But specifically atheists, what's it looking like for atheists in America? We'll discuss that later on. And much more, including a heartwarming story about police officers. That's right. We got that later on in the show today. It'll bring a smile to your face. So let's get started here, and we'll kick it off with ISIS and Anonymous. The internet activist group Anonymous decided to declare war on ISIS after the terror attacks in Paris. So they've already launched some cyber attacks against jihadist websites, and all signs indicate that they're going to continue to do that. Well, ISIS responded to this. They released a video of their own telling other jihadists how to stay safe on the internet. They say stuff like, do change passwords. And change usernames and don't use Twitter DMs because those could easily be hacked, and use workaround programs for your location and a bunch of stuff. There were some famous stories of jihadists who were blown up by drones when they left on their whatever the thing is on Twitter that tracks where you are and it says to the world that this is where you are. There are a few guys who were gotten that way, and they say, well, not only don't turn that on, but there are these programs that can like throw people off as to where you are. I know nothing about these things, but this is what the jihadist tech guy is saying. Isn't that incredible that when we're talking about this grotesque terrorist organization, they have people, it's like, oh yeah, Muhammad is our tech guy. And then we have Abdullah over here who does accounting. Like, oh God, it's so sad. But my favorite part of what they said is this, quote, the anonymous hackers threatened in new video release that they will carry out a major hack operation on the Islamic State. Idiots! What they gonna hack? All they can do is hacking Twitter accounts. By the way, I'm speaking in kind of broken English because that's how they said it. All they can do is hacking Twitter accounts, emails, etc. Okay. I find that hilarious that you have people in ISIS calling the people in Anonymous, quote, idiots. So Crooks and Liars reports on this. The hacktivist group has dismantled at least 149 of ISIS's affiliated websites, flagging approximately 101,000 Twitter accounts and nearly 6,000 propaganda videos. Now, this was, if I'm not mistaken, post-Charlie Hebdo that they did this. Now they're saying they're going to ramp this up. And ISIS is responding by saying, yeah, well, you guys are idiots. Ha ha, we got you. Now, not only that, but they're going to use, think about this, ISIS is going to use dumbass medieval laws against you and out people. Muslim fundamentalists calling hacktivists stupid. All right, guys, they believe, just to give you guys a little brush up here as to what ISIS believes, they believe that Jews were descended from apes, or might be that apes are descended from Jews, whichever, it's ridiculous either way. There's, in the Quran, there's yellow cows, bright yellow cows. I don't even know what that means. I wouldn't know how to begin to try to break that down. But if you're a literalist, then you have to believe these things. That just like in the Bible, people live over the age to like 950, over the age of 900 in the Quran. Not to mention even bringing up, you know, the other stuff about if somebody steals, you chop their hand off. I mean, they believe that, and they're saying about Anonymous, look at these idiots trying to get us. You guys are fucking marauding in the desert, and you believe in fairy tales, and you're going to call Anonymous idiots for striking back against you. God, the irony is so overwhelming. So I say all that to say this. Anonymous, do your thing, man. Go after them. They've done some great work, and what's amazing is it's almost like they have to pick up the slack where governments are totally ineffectual. Like, you know, you would think with the NSA and everybody spying on everything everybody is doing that they would have been able to maybe intercept some messages and foil a terror attack or two. But that's not the case. They weren't able to stop the Boston bombing. They weren't able to stop these recent terror attacks. They weren't able to stop, a laundry list of them. And meanwhile, these guys, Anonymous, they're specifically targeting the bad guys, and they're successful at it. Whereas the NSA is, you know, following everybody, and they can't stop Dick. So, you know, maybe if the government was smart, they'd hire every single person from Anonymous, stop the NSA bulk collection, and let these guys do their job efficiently and effectively. And by the way, I have no doubt that Anonymous is so good at what they do that even if you put them within the system, they'd be able to, you know, get warrants, get preliminary evidence to present to a judge to say, hey, we need to go after this person, and then they'd be able to go after them. Because clearly they know what they're doing compared to the idiots in the NSA who have no fucking clue. So Anonymous, way to be. Go after them here. I'm sure you'll win. And the irony, I still can't get over the irony of fucking ISIS using all modern technology. Guys, you're ISIS. like, do you not see the contradiction there? Do you not see the hypocrisy there? Do you not see, I mean, you're saying, hey, let's follow this book, which came before any technology, and you're like, okay, let me use all the modern amenities brought to us by Western civilization, because they're oh so convenient and so great, but let me use that to preach about how bad the West is. Oh, for fuck's sake, man. For fuck's sake. All right. All right, let me get to the Syrian issue here in the U.S. because this was one of the main responses to the terror attacks, and it's quite disheartening. So let me begin this for you here. 27 states in America are now refusing any Syrian refugees Some of them include Alabama, Georgia, Texas, Arizona, Michigan, Illinois, Maine, and New Hampshire. Of the 27 states that are saying no, only one of them doesn't have a Republican governor. Now, naturally, states don't have the authority to reject refugees. That's solely a federal policy. So this move does nothing but broadcast to the world your ignorance and your bigotry. So well done. Now, here's the thing. Should we be smart about immigration and about this refugee crisis? Yes. And I've said a million times I'm a moderate on this issue. There's some people who are to the left on the political spectrum who say, let everybody in, ask questions later. And then the people on the right are saying, don't let anybody in. I think there's a smart middle ground, and I think if you have a proper vetting process in place where you can really do thorough background checks, then absolutely you let in the people who are refugees because they're trying to flee the exact kind of violence that you're afraid that they're going to bring here. But, I mean, if by logical deduction, they are the least likely people to engage in that kind of violence. If they're trying to fucking escape it, that's why they're leaving Syria in the first place, and that's why they're leaving other places in the Middle East. Now, again, you do vet. You do background checks. You make sure that you're letting in the right people, but should you let in people? Absolutely. So neither extreme is correct. There's a middle ground that's the most rational, in my opinion. But isn't it funny how the states that are saying no to all refugees here claim to be the most Christian? All Republican governors except for one. So basically all the red states. They're like, yeah, no. We don't want to accept any refugees, no immigrants. And, of course, they mean specifically if they're Muslim and if they're from that part of the world, because they've said a trillion times, sure, we'll accept whiter people and Christians. Some people like Jeb Bush have said, yeah, no, we can allow in people from that part of the world, but only if they're Christian. A religious test for something like this is wildly unconstitutional, and that flies directly in the face of American values. But to get back to the Bible aspect of this for a second, now, I don't need to follow it because I'm not a Christian, but these guys who claim to be the most Christian are acting the least biblical. So, for example, in Leviticus 19, lines 33 to 34, it says, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. Okay, that seems pretty clear. If there's, you know, anything that's consistent in the Bible, most of it is wildly contradictory. But economics, it's pretty consistent in the sense that it's anti-rich and pro-poor. And immigration and stuff like refugees and the sojourners, as they call them. Central message all the way through. You got to be kind to them. Don't believe me? Let me continue. Exodus 22:21. You shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him. So when you say, hey, turn back around and go into that war zone, even though you don't want to bring anybody harm, you think you're doing that? I'd say yes. Deuteronomy 27:19, quote, cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. Hebrews 13:2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So you don't know what they went through. You have to be kind to them. That's the biblical thing to do, quite literally. Ezekiel 47:22, quote, you shall allot it as an inheritance for yourselves and for the sojourners who reside among you and have had children among you. They shall be to you as native-born children of Israel. With you they shall be allotted an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. So not only, hey, treat them nice, also, you know, they probably should get the wealth of the nation. They should get an inheritance passed down from among the tribes of Israel. So when they're your own, well, they should get everything that you get. They should get the same social safety nets and stuff like that. So these guys are acting fundamentally anti-biblical, and that's what they say they believe in. Now, if the religious angle doesn't work for you, how about the American angle? You guys know what it says on the Statue of Liberty. I'm sure you've seen this quoted multiple times, especially in the wake of what's happened. Quote, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The whole idea is that we're a nation of immigrants and we're a melting pot. But the right wants to do the opposite. Now, let me finally leave you with this. Chris Christie even went as far as to say that orphans under the age of five shouldn't be allowed in either. Orphans under the age of 5 shouldn't be allowed in. I want the rest of the world to know that this doesn't represent all of America. It doesn't. Because I think a lot of people view it as easy to generalize about America based on our crazy people. Because as you can see here, they cannot wait to generalize about all refugees and assume they're all radical and they're all going to attack and they're all terrorists. That's not fair either. So like I said, there's a happy middle ground on immigration and refugees, and we should find that happy middle ground instead of going to the absurd extent of saying none whatsoever, allow in none, because it should be clear that if you do say allow in none, then you are indeed generalizing about the refugees, and you're generalizing about Muslims, and you're saying that equals terrorism. And that's clearly not true. Okay. All right, next. Let me get to another one here about the backlash. I'm telling you, I'm going after the right and the left today. So as expected, there's been an irrational backlash against innocent Muslims since the ISIS terror attack in Paris. Let me give you a few examples of that. On Monday, vandals targeted a mosque in Texas. They threw human shit at it. They also ripped up the Quran, but believe it or not, that's, in my opinion, that's, get over it if you don't like that. Free country, that is an expression of free speech. You should be able to rip up the Bible, rip up the Quran, you know, piss on the American flag, whatever you want to do, that's free speech. But throwing human feces at the mosque, well, then you're actually doing property damage, and this, again, was in direct response to the Paris terror attacks. So what they're saying is, hey, random mosque in Texas, you're guilty of it, even though you had fucking nothing to do with it. Absurd. There's a mosque in Ontario, Canada, that was deliberately set on fire on Sunday evening. In Florida, several mosques received threats. Now, the FBI, thankfully, said they looked into it and they weren't legitimate. But nonetheless, there were calls and some direct threats of violence. In Toronto, a sign was placed near a Muslim neighborhood asking if they're sorry for the attacks. Now, let me pause on that one for a second. You know, a lot of Muslims have come out after this attack and condemned it. Many groups, many individuals, there are multiple hashtags on Twitter about, you know, Muslims denouncing this attack. But if you really think about it, the implication there is troublesome. The default assumption is, well, we think you agree with it unless you say otherwise. Why would that be the default assumption? I mean, for example, my mother's a Catholic. When the Catholic Church was diddling and boinking little boys and it was an epidemic, are we just supposed to assume that she's guilty of it or she knew about it or she gave it her stamp of approval when that happened? No, that'd be ridiculous, right? So I don't know why it's not ridiculous also for Muslims. Now, don't get me wrong, as I've said time and time again, and I'll continue to say, and I'll continue to do, I'm going to argue against the text of the Quran and the Hadith, because I think it's irrational, I think it's untrue, and that's not bigotry, that's not, you know, something where you need to point your finger at me and say, I'm doing something wrong. No, I'm just pointing out factual inaccuracies. That's something that's totally different. But this idea that, hey, I need every Muslim in the world to come out and say I'm not with the terrorists is ridiculous because, again, it assumes that they do agree with it unless they say otherwise, which means in your mind you actually are generalizing about the Muslim community and you're saying, well, I mean, I guess they do agree with it unless they say otherwise. So I don't get why they have to do that, and that, you know, is a good example of it right here, putting a sign by a Muslim neighborhood. Are you sorry for this? Why? They had absolutely nothing to do with it. All right, next one. A Fox contributor called for spying on all mosques in America. Stay classy, because that'll work. And to be clear, they were doing this in New York City for a while. They never got any intelligence out of it. Whereas there was an example of, I think it was a train that was going to be attacked in Canada, and people in the Muslim community in Canada went to law enforcement and said, we think that this guy's about to do something crazy. We think this guy is radical. Now, why did that happen? Because they actually had a good relationship with Muslims and with various mosques. And as a result of that, they were able to stop a terror attack. Whereas here, all they were doing was spying and treating them as the other when there was no evidence of any wrongdoing. Guys, don't get me wrong. If there's evidence that any mosque is radical and they are preaching direct threats of violence and they are involved in terrorism in one way or another, of course you spy on them after you get your warrant, and of course you shut them down. That's a no-brainer. But what they're saying on Fox, what's his name, Bo Deedle or some shit like that, which almost sounds like a fake name, he was like, no, we need to, let's spy on mosques, period. Not some mosque, not radical mosque, let's spy on mosques, let's spy on all mosques. Well, then you're violating civil liberties and you're violating rights, but he actually went on to say in that segment, we need to stop worrying about people's rights. You don't believe me? I'll provide a link in the video description box and you'll see. He quite literally said that. So this is what we're dealing with here, and that's the exact wrong response that in many ways is going to give the terrorists what they want, to feed into this us versus them mentality. All right, next we have a Toronto area Muslim woman who was beaten and robbed by two men while picking up her children from school. According to police, the men told her to, quote, go back to her country, and they called her a terrorist. She had nothing to do with the attacks. Nothing to do with the attacks. If you do something like this, you are generalizing about Muslims, and you are assuming they're all guilty for the attack when they're not. Next, a Hindu temple in Ontario, Canada was vandalized Sunday night while the temple's spiritual leader was attending a nearby vigil for the victims of the Paris attacks. Look at that irony, and look at the multiple layers of stupidity. The guy is actually at a vigil for the Paris attacks, and you're attacking his place as if he's responsible for the Paris attacks, or as if he agrees with them or something. And it's not even a mosque. It's a Hindu temple. We see this all the time. In the U.S., they'll attack Sikhs as if they're Muslim. They're not Muslim. By the way, if they were Muslim, you still shouldn't do it because they're still innocent people you're attacking. But look at how many layers deep the stupidity goes. I don't know. They're brownish. I don't know. It's a different religion, so attack it. No, you're the problem here. You're the bigot. You're the bad guy. An Oklahoma man called 911 and said that he'd shoot, quote, anything that looks Muslim. Now, the cop showed up here and ended up shooting him. I don't think he died. None of the articles said that, at least none of the ones that I saw. And there's also questions about that guy's mental health, like he might actually have a history of being crazy. If that's the case, perhaps the cop should have, you know, taken more precaution and been more careful and not immediately shot. But the guy literally said he's going to shoot, quote, anything that looks Muslim. They have the 911 phone call on that. Then there's a Muslim family in Orlando, Florida that had their home targeted with gunfire. And then there's an Ethiopian Christian Uber driver who was beaten up by a passenger because he was confused to be a Muslim. I'm just giving you the some of the stories that happened between the Paris attack and today. Guys, do we want to get back the people who did the terror attack? Absolutely. I did over a 20-minute segment giving exactly the policy response that I think should be done. And I hope that my ideas are intelligent and targeted at the people who actually did it and the group that's responsible for it, ISIS. So do we all have that feeling of revenge and retribution and let's do the right thing here and let's get justice? Absolutely. But this is not that. This is the opposite of that. You're just attacking innocent people and assuming they're guilty. No, that's also something that is wrong and unjust and not right. So, again, we have to be intelligent and rational in our response here, and we have to be better than this. Okay, this is a moral failing. Now, this doesn't mean that any criticism of the doctrine of Islam or any criticism of Muslims, you immediately say, that's Islamophobic, and you shut down conversation, because that's also stupid. But should we call out anti-Muslim bigotry when there is real anti-Muslim bigotry? Yes. Is this an example of it? Or multiple examples of it? Absolutely. And anybody who says otherwise is a fucking idiot. So, again, let's get the people who did it. Let's go after ISIS. But to lump in innocent people as if they're guilty, Well, they're not the problem. You become part of the problem. All right, now, when we come back, I will be going after the left. There's a really troubling idea being floated in the UK right now, and we'll get to that. And I'm going to do that right when we come back. Then I'll get into Rush Limbaugh. Then I'll get into Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia and his new silliness. All that stuff and much more. Stay right there, guys. We'll be right back. We are back. All right. So we got after the right a little bit today. Now we'll go after the left. Secularism.org is reporting that UK Labour MP Keith Vaz has expressed support for reintroducing blasphemy laws in response to terrorism. They say, quote, his comments were reportedly made at an event organized by the Muslim Council of Britain to explore responses to extremism. Let me give you his exact line, quote, religions are very special to people, and therefore I have no objection to a blasphemy law. But it must apply equally to everybody. It should apply to all religions. If we have laws, they should apply to everybody. Now, oftentimes, new atheists have thrown around the term regressive, and they've spoken about their regressive left. Now, do I think the term regressive left is overused? I do. I think it's now this catch-all phrase for anybody who disagrees on anything. And if, for example, if you give a shit about the Palestinians or you're vehemently opposed to U.S. imperialism, you're regressive. Immediately, you're regressive. So I think it's overused. I think other terms are overused as well, like Islamophobia, for example. But here's a case where the person actually is a regressive. Here's a case where somebody is buckling on rights, on a core right, on a civil liberty to, you know, not hurt people's feelings. I mean, come on, they hold their religion, you know, it's special to them. So what, are you going to be a big bad meanie and mock their religion? And, I mean, shouldn't that be illegal? No, 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 no. You don't want to go down that road. That's a terrible road to go down. Guys, there are some issues that are just simply not debatable. Okay, one of them is freedom of speech. There are others like due process of law, right to privacy and stuff. Unfortunately, the U.S. government is buckled on many of these. But this is sheer lunacy. You're considering banning mocking religion. That's what you're doing. We're really having this conversation in the year 2015? And think about how much the logic of it fails. So anything else is open to scrutiny. But when it comes to religion, well, that's the one thing where we've drawn a line and said you cannot criticize that. But isn't it funny how they draw the line on the thing where it needs criticism the most? Your deepest held views about the world and what you think is true about the nature of reality and how we got here and stuff like that. You're drawing the line there and saying, no, you can't touch these things, you can't discuss these things. Why? That's fundamentally anti-science and anti-logic and anti-rationality. And everybody is offended by something. You know what I'm offended by? I'm offended when people aren't atheists. Should I be able to lock somebody up for saying Allahu Akbar? Should I be able to lock somebody up for saying I believe in Jesus? I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb or whatever goofy religious terminology they use? I'm offended by that. My intellect is offended by that because they believe in shit that is demonstrably untrue. Does that mean that I have a right to then throw them in jail because they said something that I don't like? Well, that's what we're arguing here against people who are secularists and atheists and agnostics, people who are anti-religion. That doesn't mean that you're militant and you take guns and you kill people who are religious. That's a caricature of what we actually believe. But should we have the freedom to mock religion? Absolutely. My show, I would be shut down like that and I'd be put in jail. Bill Maher, same thing. For virtually anybody, any leftist who's criticized religion, any libertarian who's criticized religion, you want to bring back blasphemy laws. I hurt your feelings by saying I don't agree with your worldview, and you can lock me up. Again, you can't stop there, because then we have to say, well, if you insult atheism, I get to lock you up. And then if we're locking people up for hurting people's feelings, fuck, that. Where does that end? My feelings are genuinely hurt. If I'm with a girl and we're making out or something, and then I want to go the next step, and she's like, no. Now, I would never violate that once somebody says, no, it's over. I know I don't go further, but my feelings are hurt. Should I be able to lock somebody up? She didn't blow me. Put her in jail. My feelings are genuinely hurt. I hold this in high regard. I enjoy sex very much. I'm going to lock you up. That's fucking craziness. It's crazy to say because of the content of your speech, because of your opinions, that I'm going to put you in a jail cell. That is anti-freedom. That is regressive. Again, the term regressive might be overused, but is it fine to invoke it when you're talking about legit moral relativism? this idea that everything is equal, all cultures are the same, and you can't say on any issue that anyone is right or wrong. I mean, that's also a self-defeating argument if you think about it, because then you can't even argue against conservatives. So if you're a liberal and you're also a moral relativist, you have no basis by which to say conservatives are wrong for being anti-abortion. Well, that's just how they live. What are you going to do? It's just a different way of living. Who am I to judge? They're in a different state. They have a different context, a different culture. It would be bigoted of me to judge them when they're in their state and, you know, living a different way. What? My way isn't necessarily better or worse. It just is what it is. This is moral relativism, guys. This is the world where there's no rights and there's no wrongs and there's nothing that's better than anything else. It's just, oh, everything's a matter of opinion. There's no truths. There's no, that's better, this is worse. Well, this is the road that we're going down. This is regressive left. When you, on one of the non-negotiables, then you indeed are being regressive. No, rights are rights. The whole point of them is that they're concrete, is that they're off the table. And this works both ways. So this means I cannot lock up a Muslim dude or a Christian dude when they're saying shit that's ridiculous on a soapbox to the world and they're gaining followers. You know, there are a lot of fundamentalist Muslim preachers who are far more popular than I am and than secular talk is. Do I have a right to shut that person down because I disagree with the content of what they're saying? Fuck no. I don't have the right to shut down a KKK guy or a neo-Nazi guy or, you know, some Marxist guy who I would disagree with vehemently. I don't have the right to do that because that's not freedom. Freedom doesn't mean you don't get your feelings hurt from time to time. It means that when that happens, you understand that that person has their rights and they get to say it. Now, you're allowed to respond, and you're allowed to disagree, and you're allowed to yell. But the second you say, I'm going to make it illegal, well, no, then you're the bad guy. Then you're the problem. And also, your idea of beating the terrorists is just to give in to them. Well, they want to implement Sharia law, and, you know, they're crusading for that, and your counter-extremism policy is just give them exactly what they want. What do you mean? Just say that you can't criticize Muhammad anymore and you can't criticize religions anymore. Just give them what they want and then everything will be okay. Really? You think that's going to work? You think these people are, you know, capable of being appeased? I believe a guy named Neville Chamberlain tried that with the Nazis. How'd that work out? Just give them the Sudetenland. They're just asking for the Sudetenland. Are they going to go further than that? No, we're being reasonable here. Just give them the blasphemy law. That's all they're asking for. I mean, what? Do you think they're going to go further? They're not going to go further. No, we're being reasonable. They'll be reasonable. Well, why not, you know, what's the next move? Change it from the United Kingdom to the United Caliphate. What? Just not the UK anymore. Just make it the UC. Hey, I mean, look, we believe that if somebody robs something, depending on how much the thing cost or whatever, maybe you put them in jail for a year or 6 months. But, you know, they say if somebody steals something, just cut off their hand. What, it's not better or worse, it's just their way of living. I mean, who's to say what's right and wrong? Allow them to do that. No big deal. It is what it is. Let's move along. I mean, you don't want to be bigoted, right? You don't want to be bigoted against an ideology like that, right? This is the kind of madness we're talking about here. It is not going to stop at, oh, just ban, you know, mocking of religion or just ban blasphemy. It would never stop there. Of course it would keep going. And if you give an inch, they're going to take a mile and a half, because they're not open to compromise. They're telling you they are fundamentalist, literalist religious people. They are Islamists or jihadists. Your idea of countering them is to say, just give them stuff. No, the non-negotiables are just that, non-negotiable. There's a reason they're called rights and not privileges. A right means it's off the table. That's it. Conversation over. You don't just get to say, whoop, it's inconvenient, now take it away because we're offending people by abiding by it. I don't give a fuck if you're offended. I do not give a fuck if you're offended. I get to criticize you. I get to say your beliefs are dumb, and you can say it about me. That's perfectly fine. Neither of us can put each other in a jail, and that's the bottom line here is this is actually – they're fundamentally insecure in their belief. They have to be, because I don't want to lock up anybody who disagrees with me, because I think I could beat you if we're standing toe-to-toe and we're having a battle of ideas. In fact, I know I could beat you on that. You, on the other hand – I mean, when you believe ridiculous shit like there's bright yellow cows and people live to over the age of 900 and somebody's hand should get chopped off when they steal something, you can't defend that in the realm of ideas because it's fucking stupid. So what do you want to say? Oh, if you insult my religion, I'm going to have to lock you up. Get the fuck out of here. You're wrong and it's obvious And when liberals give in to this, what you're doing is you're saying, I'm so tolerant that I'm going to tolerate your intolerance, and I'm going to let your intolerance run rampant throughout the country until we're a totally intolerant country. This is a Trojan horse. I'm so tolerant that I'll tolerate your intolerance. No. Tolerant people need to be tolerant of everything except intolerance, because that's a contradiction, and if you let them win, they're going to win across the board. Was I mad enough there? I think I was. All right, next. Fucking blasphemy laws. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Drag me out in cuffs and put me in a jail cell for the rest of my fucking life, why don't you? Go right ahead. Go right ahead. And ironically, you know what you do? You make a martyr out of me. That's what you do. And it's not just me. I'm tooting my own horn here, but anybody. Anybody who believes in free speech and who believes in speaking their mind. All right. Let me go to Rush Limbaugh here before I lose my shit. That was my daily dose of going after the left. Now I'm going to go after the right. Rush Limbaugh is going to do some fake outrage over Obama's ISIS policy.
This is Obama tougher on Republicans than he ever is on ISIS. This is a press conference at the G20 summit, and White House correspondent Jim Avila. Mr. President, if I could ask, I'd like you to address your critics who say your reluctance to enter another Middle East war and your preference of diplomacy over using the military makes the U.S. weaker and emboldens our enemies.
Some of them seem to think that if I were just more bellicose in expressing what we're doing, that would make a difference, because that seems to be the only thing that they're doing, is talking as if they're tough. Folks want to pop off and have opinions about what they think they would do, present a specific plan. What I'm not interested in doing is posing or pursuing some notion of American leadership or America winning or whatever other slogans they come up with that has no relationship to what is actually going to work to protect the American people and to protect people in the region.
Did I just hear what I just heard? Did we all just hear that? Did he just say that he's not going to pursue some notion, he's not interested in pursuing some notion of American leadership or of America winning or whatever other slogans they come up with has no relationship to what's actually going to work? If America winning doesn't have any relationship to what's going to work, then what the hell are we working on?
Classic Rush Limbaugh. Come on, buddy, keep working. Make a mountain out of that molehill. Keep going. Build up that straw man and then attack it. Yes, attack that straw man. Look at how ridiculous he is. Obama was perfectly clear in what he said there. He's saying, I'm against the idiotic, vacuous, vapid slogans because the Republicans aren't actually presenting any plans in order to defeat ISIS or do anything in the Middle East. All they want to do is yell and say, yeah, talk about America winning. Talk about how great we are. Leadership. They just say vague shit like that. Leadership. Why aren't you showing American leadership? That's the problem, is that we don't have strong American leadership anymore. And they think that substitutes for actually saying what the fuck you would do. They think that substitutes for policy specifics and detail and nuance. But the thing is, they don't have any of that, which is why all they can say is, America should win. Leadership. American leadership. And that's what he's pointing out there. And what does Rush Limbaugh do? Totally twist it. Where he says, dude, did I just hear what I just heard? No, actually, you didn't, because you're going to make up the next part. What does he say? Is Obama against America winning? Is that what he's against? Is he against American leadership? He just said it. He just said it, except he didn't say it. You made it up. God, it's such a classic Rush Limbaugh move. And also, anytime any Republican has proposed a policy, save maybe Lindsey Graham, who legit wants to invade everywhere and shoot down Russian planes and possibly start World War III, anytime any other Republican has proposed something, it's almost been exactly what Obama's plan is. Because what is Obama doing? he's bombing the shit out of ISIS. He's been bombing the shit out of the Middle East for his entire time in office. Now, I have problems with that, and I don't agree with that. But that should be something that the right's like, the one area I agree is on this. He's dropped thousands of bombs on ISIS. He's done it in Iraq. He's done it in Syria. And then when you say to all the Republicans, well, would you do ground troops and would you invade? They're like, no, I wouldn't do that. But Obama's weak. So what would you do? I'd probably do airstrikes. Well, that's exactly what the fuck he's doing. Obama's done military interventions in 7 different countries since he's been in power. Again, not something I like, not something liberals and progressives like, but this is something that you guys should love. But even when he does something they like, they don't give him credit. Same thing for fucking Obamacare. It was originally your idea. It was a Richard Nixon idea. Then it was a Heritage Foundation idea. Then it was a Newt Gingrich and Chuck Grassley idea. A Republican idea through and through. The second President Obama does it, like, oh, this fucking liberal socialist commie pinko faggot. Look at him. Look at him with his health care plan. What a dumb health care plan. Why don't you do one of our health care plans? Oh, he did. What? God, they're so sad. They have no ideas. You could smell this from a mile away. I don't give a fuck if you're 9 years old. If you try to follow politics, you go, oh, wait, what the right is saying, that doesn't make any sense. What you just said makes no sense. And then the best part, and the whole reason we're doing this is, did you catch it at the beginning? Quote, Obama is tougher on Republicans than he ever is on ISIS. This is a talking point that's been recycled now for a while, for years. They think it's witty. They think it's like, ah-ha-ha, with soundbite, oh, we got you. Isn't that great? Yeah, except it's fundamentally untrue. When was the last time President Obama droned the RNC? Was Reince Priebus eating dinner and all of a sudden a Scud missile hits his kid in the face? Did that ever happen? When was the last time President Obama took military action against John Boehner when he's at the country club playing with John McCain? That didn't happen, did it? That's right, it didn't happen. You want to know why? Because it's obviously ridiculous to say that President Obama treats Republicans tougher than he treats ISIS. He's bombing the shit out of ISIS. He's attacking them. He's bombing them. But again, facts don't matter. Reality doesn't matter. Let nothing get in the way of a good narrative. And the narrative to Rush Limbaugh is Obama weak. Obama anti-American. Republican good. Obama bad. And this is why he sucks in the ratings. All right, next. One more and then we'll take a break skis. Vice News is reporting on a troubling yet expected move from Washington. They say, quote, the U.S. State Department has signed off on the sale of $1.29 billion worth of weaponry to Saudi Arabia, including tens of thousands of bombs that will restock a Saudi arms stockpile depleted by the country's air campaign in Yemen, which has been linked to over 1,000 civilian deaths. In justifying the sale, the State Department's Defense Secretary Cooperation Agency said approval would help to, quote, safeguard the world's largest oil reserves. According to the Congressional Research Service, the U.S. has sold, get this, more than $90 billion in armaments and weapons systems to Saudi Arabia since 2010. Goddamn, son! It's been about 5 years, and you sold over $90 billion in arms to them? $90 billion. Oh, my goodness. That's ridiculous. And guys, remember, this is a Wahhabi state. So when people talk about fundamentalist Muslims, they're talking about Wahhabism or Salafism. That's the state of Saudi Arabia. So if we're so opposed to it in the U.S., why the fuck are we arming the state, the Wahhabi state? That's madness. Now, again, human rights organizations are pulling their hair out over this because they say they lowballed it here in this article, but over 2,000 civilians have died. Over 50% of the casualties in the bombing done by Saudi Arabia in Yemen are civilians. And not only that, not only are we giving them arms and bombs and weapons and all that stuff, we are giving them the coordinates, and we're we're helping with the intelligence to pick out the places for them to bomb, and they're still killing over 50% civilians. No, this is something that you have to stop immediately. Especially with what just happened in Paris, why would you want to arm the government that is most directly involved in spreading that ideology the world over? We know that the overwhelming majority of the hijackers on 9/11 were from Saudi Arabia. We know that there are actors inside the Saudi government who are directly funding terrorist groups. We know that even with this refugee crisis, the Saudi government's like, yeah, no, we're not going to take any refugees, but we're going to pay for mosques in Europe. And this is the government that the U.S. is like, all right, you want a hand job? What do you want? Want a blow job? Tell me what you want. As long as the oil squirts in my face, we're all good here. And they admit that what it's really about, too. I love that. They used to not, you know, let it hang out like this, but they're letting it hang out. They're like, well, yeah, they might actually think it's better to say it's about the oil than to say we love Saudi Arabia because of how obviously ridiculous and terrible the Saudi regime is. They're like, no, this is to safeguard the world's largest oil reserves. But it's really not because it's more about the military-industrial complex because the fighting in Yemen is not really threatening the oil right now. It's just not. But they're saying it's about the oil. In reality, I guess maybe a little bit about the oil, but more of it's about just selling the weapons and the military-industrial complex. And a lot of people make a lot of money when you sell weapons, even if it's to Wahhabi regimes. This is the last regime we should arm. I was saying the other day, one of the points I had in my plan to respond to the Paris incident is giving basically an ultimatum to Saudi Arabia. Say, weed out the people within your ranks here who are funding this ideology the world over, or else. And that or else is our economic relationship is donezo. And what does the U.S. do? They're like, let's do the opposite of that. Let's give them more weapons, more bombs. Let's cuddle up to them more as they continue to massacre civilians in Yemen. Unbelievable. So they're killing civilians. We're helping them kill civilians. They're spreading Wahhabism, radical Islam, all around the world. And we're like, yeah, well, I don't see the problem here. There's nothing going on. No, we're on the side of that. Well, then you're not fucking smart people. Then it's obvious to everybody that business interests and the corporatocracy overrides everything else. Everything else. Morality, it overrides common sense, and you're digging your own grave here. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got Justice Antonin Scalia decided to say something stupid because what else is new? And then later on, a Republican finally comes out in favor of gun control. The reason why is pretty straightforward. You guys can probably guess it right now. And then I'm going to give you some great facts on atheism. Just a total breakdown of atheists in America. What gender they are, what specifically they believe, where they lean politically, all that stuff. It's really interesting and good research done by Pew on that. And it's a heartwarming story. Don't worry, there's actually two heartwarming stories at the end of the show, really. Hopefully we'll have time to get to them. And one of them is about cops doing the right thing. It actually brought a smile to my face. And another one is about, speaking of face, a successful facial transplant that pretty much went all the way. I think they've been able to do it for a while, but the way they do it has not been great, and there's problems with the eyelids, and I don't know all the details. But this one I do know all the details, and they hit it out of the park, man, and it's fantastic. It shows you that, you know, science is on the verge, if not already there, of doing some incredible stuff. I don't know, even just putting aside, you know, medicine, but when you look at technology, fuck, man, all the stuff they're coming out with now, like the Oculus Rift thing, I haven't used it, but I want to use it. How long until, number one, they perfect that, number two, nobody has real sex anymore? Once those things come about, it's over. Men will no longer put in any effort to talk to any women. All they will do is fuck their machine. Hook something up to their dick and put on the goggles that let you see everything in 3D where it feels realistic. And then that's it. It's over. And who knows, women, maybe they'll hop on board with the machine dick too. Get some machine love. Might be better. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, all that stuff and much more. We'll be right back. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia decided to say something wildly offensive and stupid, because what else is new? He was speaking at Georgetown University Law School on Monday, and he said the Constitution guaranteed only religious and political protections, and that it wasn't up to judges to determine which other minority groups deserve legal protection. So here's his direct quote. What minorities deserve protection? What? It's up to me to identify deserving minorities? What about pederasts? What about child abusers? This is a deserving minority? Nobody loves them. Precisely, Antonin, which is why, cleverly, nobody on the left argued for rights to child abusers and pederasts. You made that up. This guy's incredible. He just makes up his opponent's position, and he says, well, why would I give them rights? Exactly, why would you? Nobody asked you to. So who the fuck are you arguing against? No, but see, he's trying to draw an analogy or extrapolate based off of protections that we've argued that should be given to, for example, gay people. He's like, well, where does it stop? If you give people equal rights, slippery slope here, guys. Next thing you know, child fuckers, they're gonna get rights too. No, but see, that is illegal for a good reason. To have states and have laws that were against gay marriage, there wasn't a good reason for that. You simply weren't treating them equally under the law when they weren't harming anybody else. They were consenting adults who wanted to get married, and to stop that, prevent that via law, doesn't make sense. All the arguments against that are bad. Whereas when you talk about, you know, people who fuck kids, no, there's a good reason to be against that. For example, kids can't consent because they don't have the mental capability to consent, because if you're having sex with a 9-year-old, they don't know what sex is in the developed adult way because they haven't gone through puberty. So biologically, they cannot consent. They don't know what the fuck they're consenting to. So that is you imposing yourself on another human being, and it's against the law for that reason, and it's a good reason it's against the law. Nobody's ever argued to give them rights because that doesn't make sense. There's no good argument there. It's not two consenting adults. That's not what you're talking about. And child abusers, who would ever argue to give child abusers rights? For fuck's sake, abuse, assault is against the law because you're physically imposing yourself. You're harming another human being. When it comes to gay marriage, you're not harming anybody. Again, consenting adults doing what they want, not hurting anybody else. A 45-year-old person smacking an 11-year-old, physically assaulting an 11-year-old, abusing a child, that's bad because of the physical aspect and the fact that you are imposing yourself on somebody else, taking away their rights, and physically dominating them, assaulting them, hurting them. He tries to muddy the waters and make it like every issue is the same. I mean, why not go further then, buddy?
I mean, you know, rights for gays, why not rights for serial killers? Where does it end?
But that's stupid, and nobody would say that, which is why you have to make up what your opponents are saying and then slap that down. It's classic straw man. Hey, look at this thing that I just said that my opponents believe, even though they don't believe it, and I was able to smack it down. And then what do the idiots on the right go? Oh, my God, Antonin Scalia, he's our intellectual. He's so smart. He's an originalist. He's a constitutionalist. That's what he is. Yes, attack those lefties who don't believe the shit you say they believe, Antonin. It's so sad to watch, man. It's so sad to watch. And also, he acts like it's impossible to interpret the Constitution in a way that gives gay people equal rights. No, it's not. There's equal protection under the law is in the Constitution. It is reasonable for one to look at that and say, equal protection, okay, so everybody gets protected under the law. Well, marriage is the law. Nobody's getting hurt if it's gay people who want to get married. Why the fuck not? That's not like this ridiculous stretch of logic where it's like, oh, I don't see, it doesn't make sense, I can't look at that, it doesn't make any sense at all. No, it makes perfect sense. You're just refusing to acknowledge that that is a reasonable interpretation of the Constitution, because in your mind, all you want to say is, whatever the founders intended is, you know, what we need to do. So, I mean, by that logic, ban all guns except muskets. You ready to do that, Antonin? Okay. Next. All right, I got to go to... I think I have a bunch of funny politicians getting caught here in their own stupidity. Again, one a Republican, another one's a Democrat. Interesting. I'm all over the place today, aren't I? A Republican member of the Texas legislature is suddenly very concerned about the issue of gun control. A Texas Republican. Now, the reason why he's concerned now is totally unsurprising. So while discussing how much he hates Syrian refugees and doesn't want them in his state, Representative Tony Dale said that refugees get driver's licenses, and we can't do that with Syrian refugees because what if they get a job at the airport and then they, like, bomb planes or something, bro? This is the way that he's thinking. He's like, any Syrian refugee you allow in, any of them, don't give them rights, don't give them driver's license, for example, because, you know, they might get a job at the airport and then bomb the plane. This is a thought that not only he had, he actually said it. Like, he thought about it enough to say it out loud, and he wasn't embarrassed. Unbelievable. So then, according to Raw Story, quote, on the matter of guns, Dale proposed amending the Texas laws along the lines of liberal California that would provide refugees with certain rights but make it harder for them to procure weapons. Quote, California, when they issue driver's licenses to non-citizens, specifically say that it is not to be used for a federal purpose, not to be used for employment, and that means it cannot be used to board a plane, and presumably it could not be used to purchase a gun. So he's proposing this. He's like, okay, I love guns. Guns are awesome. Guns in Texas, rock and roll. But, you know, if there were any Syrian refugees that get in here, well, we're going to stop them from getting guns, right? We're going to stop them from getting guns. Wait, tough guy. What happened to more guns equals more peace? What happened to everybody should have a gun? What happened to Second Amendment? What happened to this is not debatable? Now, remember, the way the Constitution works, it's not explicitly saying these are your rights. It's actually a restriction on government. So the argument that, well, they're not citizens, so it doesn't count, that actually doesn't hold up. And again, like they were laying out here, when refugees come in here, they do have a limited set of rights. I find it funny that the one right that you guys have said you cannot argue against, it's sacrosanct, it's off the table, the one right where they say that. They're like, oh, brown-skinned people? Get rid of that one. It's inconvenient now. We don't like those guys, so as you can www.shh.com/their brown, so we can't give them anything. No, see, the reality is, guys, should Syrian refugees, should everybody in the U.S. be under more sane, reasonable gun laws? Absolutely. You know, we should have a universal background check. We should have a ban on high-capacity magazines. We should have a giant gun buyback program where we limit the number of guns, not forcibly taking people's guns, but have this giant buyback program and incentivize people, trade in your old guns, because we have over 300 million guns in the U.S., and it's not a coincidence that we have more guns than every other modern nation, and we also have more gun deaths. That's directly linked. So should we have overall more sane gun laws? Yes. But notice how he thinks for me and for Texas and for white people, no laws whatsoever. And he says, hey, man, our laws in Texas, I mean, we got lax gun laws here, dog, so we can't allow in any Syrian refugees because they might use it. Well, thank you, because you just destroyed your entire original argument about guns. It indeed is not true that more guns equal more peace. It is true that you should have sane gun laws. And you should prevent people who, you know, have something terrible in their past or former criminals or are questionable. You should prevent them from getting guns. You should prevent crazy people from getting guns. But notice how in his mind it's white people, fine, lax gun laws for all of them, even if they're fucking psychopaths, and statistically they do more mass shootings than anybody else. White people, fine. Middle Eastern, oh, no way. Black people, still no. But you're better than the Middle Easterners. This is the way they think. All right, next. Again, now I'm going after a Democrat. I told you, man, I'm all over the map today. Dan Kimmel, no relation to Jimmy Kimmel, is a Democratic candidate for the Minnesota State House, and he tweeted something over the weekend, I think it was during the Democratic debate, that immediately ended his career. And it might not be just ending his career in politics. It also might be ending his career everywhere, ever. So according to the New York Daily News, he said, quote, ISIS
isn't necessarily evil. It is made up of people doing what they think is best for their community. Violence is not the answer, though. So the second he said that, there was a massive online backlash. So then he had to come out and say, oh, I didn't mean that. He said, quote, I deplore the evil acts of ISIS. I do not defend their acts. My tweet last evening was in response to a statement made during the candidate debates, not in response to the activities in Paris. It was poorly worded and did not convey my intent. I am folding up my campaign tent. The campaign website and Facebook page will be down by this afternoon. I apologize to the volunteers and contributors who have put so much time, effort, and money into my campaign. The quickest implosion in human history. He says that, and like 24 hours later, everything's gone. He dropped out, all his websites are all down and shit. That's unbelievable. So what are we to make of this? Look, I'm not one of those people who read something like this and I go, well, you know, what he was trying to say is blah, 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 blah. No, it was stupid. It is stupid. When you started out with ISIS isn't necessarily evil. Yeah, they are. You could call them evil. Now, when you talk about the nature of evil, that might be something where there's an interesting philosophical conversation to have. You know, can somebody just be inherently evil where they're just a bad person? Or does there have to be an ideology that brainwashes them into being evil, and originally when they were babies they were perfectly normal? So there is a philosophical conversation to be had there. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to be like anti-intellectual here. But overall, that point is stupid. ISIS isn't necessarily evil, of course. Even if you just say, hey, their actions are evil. Beheading somebody, you're killing apostates, or taking sex slaves. That is evil. You're allowed to use that word. It's not like, you know, I'm not one of those people that wants to not use terms that are judgmental because, bro, who am I to judge, bro? No, fuck you. I'm going to judge. I'm not going to prejudge because then I don't have the information. But after I have the information, am I going to judge? Yes, I'm fucking judging you, okay? So if you're a terrorist, I'm judging you if you're a fucking terrorist. You're dumb. You're an idiot. And you're wrong. And your actions are immoral. They are unjust. And they are, in the case of ISIS, evil. So, yeah, that's not true, and you sound like an idiot, because you probably are an idiot. And then he says, well, see, now, the rest of it, some people would argue makes it better. I'm not sure, because he says, it is made up of people doing what they think is best for their community. Violence is not the answer, though. So, obviously, he's not pro-ISIS. When people say that, they're going too far. The comment is dumb. He's not pro-ISIS. Although, that middle part there, that's apart from the first part of the sentence, that's why I think the guy's probably not that bright. Because, like, okay, so ISIS thinks they're doing what's best for their community. The Nazis thought that they were doing what was best for humanity. That doesn't mean anything. People say that as if it's like, aha, I figured something out. No, you didn't. That should have been obvious to everybody. You know, fucking Stalin, when he was doing his purge and he was killing everything in sight and millions of people, he thought he was doing the right thing. I'm standing up for these Marxist values which are going to usher in the future of humanity, and this is modernity, and this is the right belief system to set up. Nazis, same thing. All imperialists, you know, throughout history. Hey, we're going to come over there, steal your natural resources, but set up governments that are more in line with our values, because aren't we such great people? We're doing the right thing. You know? You can go down the list here, man. The biggest monsters in the world wake up in the morning and they think, I fucking got this thing on lock, don't I? I'm nailing it right now. They all think that. So when you say, hey, they're doing what they think is best for their community, my response is www.sothefuckwhat.com. Because what matters in this world are actions. Beliefs are important, don't get me wrong, and that's why we always argue and debate in the realm of ideas and concepts. But actions are what really defines you. So, you know, you could say, I'm a good guy, but I'm a serial killer who just murdered 8 people. Well, then no, you're not a good guy because your actions speak louder than your words, and your actions were evil. For all the rationalizations and justifications and ideological backups and, oh, my God, they believe in fundamentalist Islam, but, oh, my God, their country was destroyed by the big bad West, and therefore there's revenge and retribution involved in this, and they're fighting. All that, yes, we can have that conversation, and all that those things matter to one degree or another. But are the actions evil in and of themselves if you're beheading journalists and killing people nonchalantly? Yes. you're randomly killing Shia Muslims and moderate Sunnis and killing Christians and killing everybody you come across who ain't exactly fucking like you. Yes, evil. You can call it that. That's fine. So it's probably a good move that Dan Kimmel dropped out. I know nothing about his other policies, but he seems to me like somebody who wants to be a very thoughtful person, but he ain't really getting there. All right, next. Now let me give you the awesome story on atheists. I got a whole bunch of facts here for you. Pew Research has some great new data out on atheists that I want to share with you guys. They say, quote, estimating the number of atheists in the U.S. is complicated. Some adults who describe themselves as atheists also say they believe in God, that's ridiculous, or a universal spirit. At the same time, some people who identify with a religion also say they do not believe in God. So they're saying that you have some coding problems here, because how do you judge it? You know, what definition are you going to use? Are you going to take people at their word? Can somebody say, I'm Jewish, but I don't believe in God, so I'm an atheist, but I am Jewish? How exactly does this work? They say, but one thing is for sure, along with the rise of the religiously unaffiliated Americans, also known as the nuns, we've spoken about them before, they're just not part of an organized religion. Okay, so that's a broader net. But along with the rise in that, there's also been a corresponding increase in the number of atheists. So, that's good news. They say since 2007, the number of atheists has roughly doubled. It was 1.6%, now it's 3.1%. An additional 4% of Americans call themselves agnostics. Now, again, there's some labeling issues here. I would contend that agnostics are atheists because they're answering two different questions. One is what you believe, the other is what you know. So in terms of what I believe, yes, I actively live my life as if there's no God. I don't believe there's a God. Do I know? Do I know? Well, no. There I would say I don't know. So you would categorize me most accurately as an agnostic atheist, and that's the camp that these agnostics are in. So really, it's more like 7.1% of the American people are atheists. And again, I'm going to get later on to another number, which I think even more closely represents the real number of atheists in the U.S. Keep in mind, this isn't nuns, the category of the unaffiliated, because that number's a little over 20% now. Those are the people who say, I'm not part of any organized religion. I might believe in God, I might be a spiritual person, but in terms of saying, I am a Christian, I am a Muslim, no. They could have New Age fucking Deepak Chopra-ish beliefs, but they could still be in the nun category. That's a bigger net. This is smaller when we're talking specifically about atheists. They continue. Atheists are 68% male, so overwhelmingly male. The median age of atheist adults is 34 years old. That's actually young, because that's compared with 46 for all U.S. adults. So atheists are, by and large, younger than average. Atheists in America, this is all for America, by the way. I don't know if I had mentioned that up to this point. Atheists are 78% white versus 66% for the general public, so they're overwhelmingly white. Atheists are highly educated. 43% have a college degree compared with 27% of the general public. They say atheists are liberal. 69% identify as Democrats or lean in that direction, and 56% call themselves political liberals. Now, believe it or not, those numbers are actually a little misleading, too, because when you actually ask atheists, are you conservative, only like 10% admit to being conservative. So they're either saying like independent or centrist or moderate or liberal democratic. They're almost none of them are saying conservative. Atheists overwhelmingly favor same-sex marriage, 92% favor it. That's, I think, a huge win for non-religious people. It shows that you're more sympathetic and you're able to put yourself in other people's position. And, you know, you think about these things objectively and you don't run to ancient desert holy books. Abortion, 87% are in favor of abortion. I actually thought that would be more mixed, that one, but no, 87% in favor. In addition, 74% say that government aid to the poor does more harm than good. which is wonderful. So they're more along the lines of believing in social democracy. They don't think, you know, ooh, welfare, dirty word. All the propaganda about welfare, evil, in the minds of atheists. Like, no, that's bullshit. That's Fox News bullshit. No. If somebody is poor, perhaps they need a little bit of money to get by, and that's not a crazy thing. That's actually immoral. I love how the conservatives flip it. They overwhelmingly say they're Christian, but when it comes to, hey, should we give this poor person a little money to eat and survive? They're like, no, that would be immoral. Have you not read the shit that Jesus said that you pretend to care so much about? They say 8% of those who call themselves atheists say they believe in God, as in, like, nature, for example. You know, when people fuck with the definitions. Oh, I believe in God, if by God you mean the universe. Okay, well, then you don't really believe in God. But nonetheless, let them have it. 8% say that. Or they say they believe in a universal spirit. There are also many people who fit the dictionary definition of atheist but do not call themselves atheists. Here we go. That number is 9%. Now, I'm including those, okay, because that, I mean, you're an atheist. It's this, like, if somebody says, I'm Jewish, but I don't believe in God, so that means culturally they say I'm Jewish, ethnically I'm Jewish, whatever, but I don't actually believe in it. Okay, well, then you're an atheist. You could call your, for family reasons, people hang on to that, oh, yeah, my family, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's stupid, whatever, but yeah, you're an atheist. Same thing if a Muslim says that, if a Christian says that, if a Buddhist says that. Like, I don't believe, but hey, I'm from a Buddhist family, I'm Buddhist. No, you're not, but okay, we'll let you live in that middle ground where you keep the label, but you reject everything that comes hand in hand with the label. So that's the real number right there. They say 9%. That number's 9%. So the overall number is much bigger than the original number they gave of whatever the fuck, 3.1%. And finally, here are my two favorite facts. Atheists are more likely than U.S. Christians to say they often feel a sense of wonder about the universe. Well, oh, looky here. Isn't that amazing? Because atheists are often tarred with, like, you know, ah, they can't see the beauty in the universe, and they can't stop and bask in that and think about that and ponder that. Only good religious folks can do that. Atheists are all like dark nihilists who hate everything and fucking don't care about the beauty in the world. No, it's actually the opposite is true. Atheists are more likely to feel a sense of wonder about the universe. Flies right in the face of the stereotype. And only 9% share their views with religious people, atheists. By comparison, 26% of those who have a religious affiliation share their views at least once a week with those who have other beliefs. So this idea of atheists as always in your face and annoying and they don't shut the fuck up about their atheism, nonsense. Only 9% of atheists are in that camp. 26% of religious people are in that camp. So we ain't the fucking annoying ones. You are. In conclusion, final thing real fast. Isn't it funny how, again, a lot of people conflate atheism with immorality. They just link it together. Oh, you're an atheist? What happened to you? What went wrong? Why do you hate life? Why, you know, why do you not have a moral code and believe in right and wrong? And that's so not true that it reflected itself here. When we say atheists are liberal, and you go through they believe in same-sex marriage, they believe in government aid to the poor, what's funny is that atheists more fully embrace the ideology of Jesus than Christians. Think about that a little bit. Okay. All right, how much time I got left? 5 minutes, thereabouts. Let me see if I can squeeze in two heartwarming stories. So oftentimes we cover bad news about police abuse on the show. Well, today we actually have a heartwarming story that involves cops in the Netherlands. So two officers in Eindhoven responded to the call of a woman who needed to be taken to the hospital over blood sugar issues. So she got her help. She went to the hospital, and she was away from her kids. So while she was gone, I mean, what are you going to do? You have nobody to look after the kids. The cops looked after the kids. So they posted the story on their Facebook, on their social media. The police department did, and they had some pictures and stuff with, you know, the cops doing the dishes, for example. And it's incredible. They say, quote,
because the policemen had some time to wait before they could hand the kids over to someone and the kids hadn't eaten yet, the officers made them something to eat. Our colleagues made them egg sandwiches and some fruit, and they made sure to do all the dishes afterwards. So again, you have the picture of them washing the dishes and doing the right thing and hanging out with the kids and babysitting them because their mother was sick and they had nobody around at the time. Man, this story rejuvenates me. It makes me think there's hope for humanity because we have basic human decency in this case. Now, of course, I could already hear the right-wing responses because I'm sure you guys have heard this a million times. I know I have, where people say, yeah, but I mean, you know, it's a homogeneous society. You know what that is, right? That's a wink and a nod to casual racism. Oh, well, I mean, come on. Of course they're going to be nice to each other and they're going to treat each other decently. They're all white people. You don't have to worry about the black people. And my response to that is, the only thing preventing us from having these good things is you. All the people who say, yeah, but they're homogeneous. That means that's a look into their own psyche and their own mind. And what it's, I'm not saying it's conscious, it's probably subconscious in their case, where they don't even realize that they harbor these, you know, bigoted feelings in one direction or another, and they're prejudiced in one way or another. And they think like, well, I mean, obviously, you know, if I was the police officer and I was in that position, would I look after the black kids if a black mother was going to the hospital? Come on, what am I going to stay in the ghetto for 5 hours? What, are you crazy? These are the things that are going on. And guys, we don't have to have people that think that way. If we just teach people in school and we hammer home the idea that people are people and we're all, talking all about Americans here and the race is irrelevant, religion is irrelevant. Of course, there's, you know, the fundamentalists are a problem, and that's totally different, and I acknowledge that, and we argue against that. But by and large, the overwhelming majority of people, no matter what ethnic group they fall into, what background they have, they're people! They're people! So if we would just all give it a shot, you know, try to not be stubborn pricks to one another and treat each other like human beings, and especially in the education system, have a melting pot, have a multicultural environment, have public schools that say, you know, hey, everybody's friends with everybody. Look, Asian kids, black kids, Hispanic kids, white kids, whatever, all different religions, backgrounds, yada, yada. If you have that set up, they're going to learn to like each other and be fine with each other and treat each other decently. But it starts from when they're young. It starts with the education system. And as we get older, the bottom line is, don't be cunts. You know, if you're a police officer, uphold the law, but protect and serve your citizens. And sometimes it doesn't mean hitting somebody with a fucking baton or tasing them or shooting unarmed black people. It means, hey, somebody went to the hospital, look after the kids for 2 hours and shut the fuck up and be happy about it. That's the way that we're supposed to act as a society. This is what our government officials are supposed to do. We're paying them anyway with our tax dollars. I know this sounds so cheesy and so stupid, but I'm going to say it anyway. Can't we all just get along? All right. I'm out of time, guys. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. You know the deal. Mwah. Peace.